Psalm 72, a psalm for Solomon. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isle shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And so this psalm for Solomon, and as we said, indeed, in David's mind, he's speaking about Solomon. But the greater purpose God has in the giving of this psalm is to make mention of him, who Solomon is but a type and a foreshadow. You remember that David was desirous of building the temple. The Lord told him that he couldn't because he was a man of war, that he had shed too much blood. He said, but your son will build it. And Solomon, whose name means peace, he is a king of peace. Solomon reigned over a kingdom of peace. And the Lord, the scripture says, is the Prince of Peace. And so there are many, many types that are seen clearly in Solomon as he is a picture of Christ. Of course, there's a lot of contrast in ways in which he's very unlike Christ and very much a man. And the Lord would demonstrate, I believe, in Solomon what the wisdom of man is. Now, we think of Solomon as being the wisest of men, and yet Solomon became an idolater. I mean, you know, those two things don't seem to go hand in hand, do they? But that's how men think. Now, you often see around Christmas time, you'll see these little cards and things that say, wise men still seek him. And, of course, it's a play on the thing of the wise men, you know, seeking the Lord. But the reality is that's not a true statement, because the wisdom of men, in the wisdom of men despise the way of Christ. Wise men, as men know wise men, don't seek the Lord because they figure they got it all figured out. And just like Brother Al was pointing out, they think that the gospel is it's kind of foolish. It's an offense to them. Oh, that's silly. I mean, who ever heard of a God who would choose people and pass others by? Would create some for the purpose of destroying them. Now, what kind of a God would do such a thing as that? Oh, keep silence, all created things, and wait your maker's nod. My soul stands trembling as she sings the honors of her God. And so, you know, life, death, and hell, and worlds unknown hang on his firm decree. All things are in the hand of the Lord. What can a man do? What can a man say? I mean, you know, if a man doesn't like the things that God does, who's he going to go complain to about it? I mean, what can you do about it? Paul said, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" I mean, we must, by the grace of God, be brought down to that same place Job did, that says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." I mean, I can't give you good reasons why God does all the things that he does, but I know they're all good reasons. And I certainly won't bring him into question about it. I mean, who are we to bring God into question about anything? "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son." The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world as a perfect man without sin. Now, Adam was created without sin, was he not? I mean, he wasn't created as a sinner, but he was created as a man. And he was created as a man with the propensity to sin. And he's accountable for his sin. And what can any man say about that? Did sin occur by happenstance? Did the Lord say, "Oh man, I've messed up now. Here's Adam, he's sin"? No, the Lord had a purpose in the creation of the world. And whether you like it, and this maybe you don't like the way to say this, but the sin of Adam was as much ordained as was every other thing in the world. Otherwise, something would have been out of the control of Almighty God. Now, you can go shipwreck on such a thing as that. And what men often do is they get to thinking that well, because everything's in the hand of the Lord, then it don't matter what I do. Well, that's a foolish place to go, because the Scriptures amply says, don't do this. If you do this, this is going to happen. And men are fools that disregard the commandments of God and would despise the way of God. But the Lord came into the world as a perfect man without any propensity to sin. When the Scripture says that he was without sin, it doesn't just mean that he did not commit any sin. It means that there was no thought of evil in his heart. See, he didn't need the Ten Commandments. Lord didn't. When the Lord Jesus came into the world, he didn't need the Ten Commandments. How do we know that? Because the law is not given to a righteous man. It's given to the lawless and the disobedient. See, the Lord gave the law because men are sinners. Christ came into the world as a righteous man. And he had one desire, and that was to fulfill the will of his Father. And everything that he sought to do was that. Men in Adam are just the exact opposite of that, looking for a way to go contrary to it. And when the opportunity arose, guess what? That's what he did. Because that's what he is by nature. But give thy king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. The Lord Jesus Christ has come into the world as a perfect man, righteous in all of his ways, in all of his thoughts, and in all of his doings. And he is that one who shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. Now the Lord judges right judgment. Now, anybody that pays much attention to what goes on up in Washington knows for a surety that there is no such thing as righteous judgment in the earth. Because it doesn't make any difference who you are or what party you're from or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. The law just exists in their mind as something to promote their own agenda. And they'll do whatever they can, either side, both ways, to do whatever they want to do. And it's not like one side is so good and the other side so evil. The Lord put evil men in these places. What he said he'd do. And that's exactly what he did. And we see it played out. But the Lord Jesus Christ is a righteous judge. And he judges with exact righteousness. Now, some people take comfort in that when they think about their own way and they say, man, I'm glad that the Lord is going to judge right and we're going to get what we, you know, what's coming to us. Well, brethren, you've got the wrong idea about what righteousness is. You like either the Democrats or the Republicans. You know, you think this is righteous or that's righteous. But see, the righteousness of God, it doesn't have anything to do with that. You know, it so far exceeds that. And every man who reads that the Lord will give righteous judgment ought to tremble in fear. That one day he will stand before that righteous judge. And dear brethren, if you think that you're going to stand there on your own before a righteous judge and not be condemned, then you don't understand the righteousness of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But men think, well, my sin not quite as bad as so-and-so. I mean, I might not have done right, but I didn't act like Jeffrey Dahmer or Hitler I didn't act like Donald Trump. I mean, you know, or Adam Schiff. I mean, I was better than them. It doesn't make any difference. You know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And to stand before Almighty God in as one who is giving out righteous judgment in our own self is to perish. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. Now, fortunately, he knows that we're dust. And in his mercy, he does show mercy to those who are the objects of his mercy. Now that's a funny way to say that, isn't it? But that's what he said. He said, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy, and I will harden whom I will harden. Now does that sound good to people? I mean, really. Now, just on the face of that, the Lord says, I'm going to show mercy to whom I will, and whom I will, I'll harden. You know, naturally, the natural man says, well, that don't sound fair. I mean, that's not right. What about man's free will? Well, what about it? You know, it doesn't make any difference if man believes in free will or not. Mercy is the sovereign will and right of Almighty God to do with his own as he sees fit. And he shows mercy to some. Oh, by the grace of God, I desire to be an object of his mercy. Now, there's not a thing in the world I can do to cause myself to be an object of mercy. But the Spirit of God works in the sons of God with a desire to be the objects of mercy. See, the righteous men of the earth, they don't necessarily need mercy. They just want justice. Because they figure what they're doing is right. They don't figure there's any need to be worried about mercy if they got justice. But oh, the Lord, he's the one who gives the poor. He deals with the poor with judgment. Because he said, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the judgment of the poor and the judgment of the wise is two different things. Because the Lord judges the poor with the same judgment, but the poor he makes provision for. See, the poor are those whom the Lord came to save. He came to save sinners. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The poor are the sinners. The poor are those that don't have anything to bargain with God. Rich men are those that They figure they're going to be all right. I tell the Lord, like my old neighbor said, I just tell him I always tried to do what was right. Now, what a lie that was. You know, you never always tried to do what was right. You never known anybody that ever always tried to do what was right. You might have messed up and done what was right every now and then. But, you know, most times it was in contrast to what you really wanted to do. But the Lord, He does judge the poor with righteousness. Just as He judges the rich, He shall judge thy people with righteousness, thy poor with judgment. He gives mercy mixed with judgment because He makes provision not to overturn the law, but to fulfill it. The mountain shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. Now that is judgment. That is justice. And He said He would do that. That He would hear the sighing of the needy. He'll save the children of the needy and break in pieces the oppressor. For they shall fear Thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. See, those who are the poor and the needy, who've been shown mercy, they'll fear God forever. But the natural man, he doesn't fear God. He thinks God might be his buddy. Or he thinks God will do, you know, if grandma gets sick, he can go to the Lord and the Lord will may heal grandma. Or he may help them get that bank loan. Or he may do something. You know, he'll do something good for them. They believe that. Men believe that. You know, it doesn't take much to get people to believe that. I mean, to tell folks, now if you'll go and you'll send me $50, the Lord will bless you. It doesn't take much to convince a man of that. Why? Because he already believes such stuff as that. He believes he can influence God. He believes there's a way in which he can cause himself to appear before God in such a way that the Lord will grant his wish like a genie in a bottle. But the Lord hears the cry of the needy and breaks in pieces the oppressor. And they shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations, because He works in them both the will and to do of His good pleasure. And the people of God shall fear Him forever. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Now, you know, I was thinking of this one. I don't know why this came to my mind, but He shall come down like rain upon mown grass. Have you ever seen dead grass sprout? Now, I know that it really wasn't completely dead, but it was mowed down. I've seen hay before that was baled up in a bale. And as far as you could determine, it was dead. I'm talking about like coastal Bermuda hay. But I've seen a bale of hay get wet and in the right situation, and that stuff starts sprouting again. And if you looked at it, you said, that stuff's dead as a wedge. It just dried out. But just like the Lord sent the prophet to the valley of dry bones, the Lord said, let it live. And just like the rain upon dry grass, upon the mown grass, it shall flourish according to the good pleasure of His will. And none can stop it. And no man can explain it. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Oh, how precious is the blessing of God to those that wait upon Him. Now you know, the Scripture says that rain falls on the just and the unjust. And quite often it is, there's two ways you can look at that. Now if you wanted to do something and you have this event planned and it rains, you say, oh man, it rained. Well, the rain fell on the just and the unjust. And then on the other hand, when it's dry and parched, and you say, oh Lord, send us some rain, and it rains, the rain falls on the just and the unjust heirs. You know, whether it's a blessing or a curse, as men might look on it, it doesn't make any difference. It's in the hands of the Lord, and He is the one that sends it down. Now, the people of God are the only ones who can really rejoice in that. Because whether it rains or whether it's dry, our times are in the hands of the Lord. And we might complain in the flesh, but we rejoice that even if it never rains again, and all of our crops, though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine, though the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, yet will we praise the Lord. What a glorious thing. How does a man come to a place like that? Can a man just decide to be like that? I mean, can a man rejoice in everything going wrong in his life by nature? No. Only as the Lord is pleased to come down like that rain upon the mown grass. That's the only way. As showers that water the earth. That's the only way that that happens. What a glorious thing. What a wondrous God we have. The righteous shall flourish, and the abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Now, I hate to place labels upon things, but the premillennial view, and I don't usually get into all this kind of stuff, but which is so common among men in their line of thought, says that there's coming a time when Christ will reign in the earth. And they're too late. They're right. But they should have been back with Isaiah and, you know, and Ezekiel and all of that, because the Lord does reign in the earth. He has the kingdom that the Scripture speaks about that He would come and establish. He has established. It is established. It is not a kingdom of flesh and blood. It's not a kingdom that comes by observation. It's not a kingdom that men can go and see a king seated on a throne somewhere. But He is a king nonetheless over His kingdom, because His kingdom is a mediatorial kingdom. And He said that the kingdom of God is in your midst when the Pharisees asked Him to show it to them. He said, it's already here. You just don't know it. You haven't seen it. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Now, David's writing this in prospect. He said, He shall. But we see it as it has gloriously been fulfilled, and we said, He reigns. Our God reigns. And He has come to establish His kingdom, and He has triumphed gloriously in the establishment of that kingdom and has put down all opposition to it. We're not waiting for a day when He's going to put down all opposition. He already has. They just don't know, some of them don't know it yet. But He has, He rules and He reigns. They shall dwell, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before Him, and His enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents, and the kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. And that, you know, the Lord said that He had a people of every kindred, tribe, and tongue in the earth. I believe that that's... I don't know there's any place on earth. Now, there may be like one village somewhere you might go and find, you know, a believer. But I don't believe there's any place on earth that you can go in the present time where there is not somebody of that nation who rejoices in Jesus Christ. He has a people scattered here and there, according to the good pleasure of His will, dear brethren. And He has gathered His people, and He is in the process of gathering His people. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. They shall. They have. They are. He turns the heart of the king whithersoever he wills. There's not a king on earth that didn't do exactly what the Lord told him to do. Saddam Hussein, he didn't ever take a step that the Lord didn't guide his feet. Now, was Saddam Hussein a wicked man? He sure was. Does the Lord destroy wicked men? He sure does. He sets men up just like Pharaoh. What did he say to Pharaoh? Why was Pharaoh raised up? One reason. He said, I have raised thee up that I might demonstrate my power in the earth. Lord, raise up. Why is Donald Trump in the White House? Is it because he's the greatest man that ever lived, or he's this wonderful person, or something else? No. Donald Trump's a wicked man. And everybody else that would occupy that place is a wicked man. The Lord raised him up because it pleased him. And when the time comes, I don't know if it'll be in a few months or if it'll be in 4 years or if it'll be halfway through, or I don't know, but where will come a time when the Lord will put him down? And what can we say to these things? Except fall and worship. And we will worship. All nations shall serve him. They presently do. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. Oh, what a glorious Savior he is. He shall deliver the needy when he crieth. You know, that's the most wonderful thing. When we preach the exalted Christ and the reigning Christ and the Christ who has purchased the redemption of his people, we know this to be an absolute fact, that if there is a sinner who's crying out for help, the Lord will hear him. There's never been a man who's ever perished calling upon the name of the Lord. Never been a sinner who died seeking mercy. It's never happened. It can't happen. Because the Lord hears the prayer of the needy. Now, there's plenty of folks that have prayed prayers, and preachers have told them, well, you prayed the prayer, so everything's great, who didn't have any idea what they was even doing or thought or had. But I'm telling you this, when the Spirit of God moves in a man's heart to cause him to see himself as a needy sinner before Almighty God with no help and no hope in himself, and he cries out to God for mercy, the Lord will hear him. How'd I know that? Because he would have never got in that shape if the Lord hadn't have brought him there. You see, the Lord doesn't play games with people. Those that desire to know him, they'll know him. He said, if ye seek me, ye shall find me. Him that knocketh, to him it will be opened. Because the Lord is full of mercy and kindness. His grace covers the seas. And his love for sinners has been demonstrated, dear brethren, as he poured out his life's blood on Calvary's cross, to show that he is a just God. Because the he will not overturn the decree that the soul that sinneth shall die. But he fulfilled it. Because Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary with the sins of his people laid upon his back, and he paid the price for them. Absolutely. And of all which the Lord has given him, he will lose none. They belong to him. And he loves his people. And his people are those who are the offscouring of the earth. They are those who are considered to be the weak and the beggarly, the poor and the needy, the hopeless, the helpless. Yes, Christ is the Savior. I think it was Fanny Crosby that wrote a hymn, said, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. pass me by. Oh, he never passed by. He didn't pass by that woman with the issue of blood. He didn't pass by blind Bartimaeus as he sat by the highway side begging. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the most wondrous thing that we recorded in the scripture says the son stood still. He heard the cry of a sinner. Heard the cry of a needy man. He heard the cry of a blind man. And he met his need. And he is that same one today of whom we preach and declare. That one who rules and reigns in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Who saves sinners. Glory to his name. What a wonderful Savior is he.